Have you ever stopped to think about the fans behind a band? What is it about the music that keeps fans coming back for more? Or is there more? My name is Renee Lipsmeyer, and I am the host of this podcast, The Space Between Podcast, the podcast where we talk about the fans of the Dave Matthews Band. Each week, a fellow DMB fan joins the show to discuss their journey with the band. Welcome to the Space Between Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Space Between Podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about the fans behind a band that has been making music for over 30 years, the fans of the Dave Matthews Band. Now that sounds like a very particular subject, and it is, but there are thousands of stories that can fill up this podcast with the fans of the Dave Matthews Band. Of course, they've been putting out music for over 30 years, which means they have generations of fans. Spanning from the 90s all the way to now, there's always people picking up this music that, again, is still be putting out. As we speak, the band is in Europe putting on a hell of a tour, a hell of a European tour. And so then, of course, they're headed back to the United States to start their U.S. tour in May. So we are so excited. But guys, welcome to the podcast. So, of course, every week I have a Dave Matthews Band fan on to share their particular journey with this man and what it looks like for them. So, of course, today I have Michael on the show. Thank you, Michael, so much for being on the show. Can you tell our listeners where you are in the world and start from the beginning? Where did you hear about this band, the Dave Matthews Band?
Sure. Thanks, Renee. Really a pleasure to be here. I listen to the podcast, so this is like a fan sort of inception, right? Like fan of the band, yes. Fan of the podcast.
Yes, thank you.
So originally I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I now live in Raleigh, North Carolina. And a lot of times people say, yeah, Pittsburgh to Raleigh. So I tell people I married a girl from Raleigh. So eventually I moved to Raleigh.
And yeah.
I've been here about 15 years now. So my official original home venue was Star Lake up in Burgettstown, Pennsylvania, which is really Pittsburgh. But now my new home venue is Walnut Creek here in Raleigh, North Carolina. The Dave Matthews Band and I go back to about 1995. So that was sort of the first time I had really heard of the band or heard the band. And really the story there is I didn't know what I was listening to. So I had a mixtape from a friend who had a mixtape from a friend, et cetera, et cetera. And there were a couple tunes on there, and one of them was called Ants Marching, and one of them was called After Her. And I thought I was listening to REM, and that's a true story. I did not know who the Dave Matthews Band was at that point. This is sort of before, you know, the internet had all the information that it does now.
Right.
And so heard sort of this tune with this snare drum hit at the beginning of it, and then the, you know, what we know as Ants Marching. And then heard this other tune that was just sort of what we now know as this, like, Dave sort of finger exercise in an A flat at Satellite, but it was this tune called After Her, and it was like early lyrics on Satellite. And so back then I used to check record stores and things for CDs, right? And that's that's how we found music. And I thought I was, again, based on some of the vocals, I thought it was sort of the guy from REM. I think Michael Stipe is his name. So I was like picking up REM records and not finding what I was looking for. And then in sort of this night, I think it was like April of 1995, there was the Dave Matthews Band on Saturday Night Live. Now, I had heard the name of the Dave Matthews Band at that point through whatever, radio or media.
Yeah.
And there was kind of this joke in my house because my dad is David Matthew Berger, right? Like, I'm Mike Berger.
Dang.
And so we started joking that, oh, Dad's band's going to be on TV. Right?
Yes.
And so we watched Saturday Night Live in our house, and, you know, I hear that snare drum hit when they do Ants Marching, and, like, it clicked. And the next day I ran out to the record store and I bought Under the Table and Dreaming, And that's literally like all I played. But then I was trying to find other music. Like, how do you find other music in 1995? Back then, you went to record stores, you went to CD stores, you tried to find out about, went to Barnes & Noble, tried to find a book on the band, things like this, right? Like, yeah. Before the internet was super prevalent with information. So listen to that CD until it wore out, had to buy another one, literally. So I own two copies somewhere of Under the Table. And I went to my first show in August of 95. It was at a small venue in Pittsburgh along the riverfront called Icy Light Amphitheater in Station Square, right adjacent to this place called Station Square that was sort of an old train station converted to sort of a shopping, dining little thing on the river in Pittsburgh. And they had an outdoor summer amphitheater. I think there was only like, 3,000 to 5,000 worth of people there that it could hold. Wow. And that was the first time we saw them live. Yeah, I saw them with.
So what was the time frame between listening to them and like identifying, okay, that's the Dave Matthews Band on Saturday Night Live, and seeing them live?
Yeah, so that's probably about 4 months.
Okay. Right?
So
okay.
It was about, I think it was like April. I figured out who they were and like got the CD and then saw something or figured out somehow. There was a little record store in Pittsburgh called National Record Mart that I used to frequent and used to go and stand in line to get tickets through Ticketmaster.
Oh, God,
and so
yeah.
whenever they put up on their board, right, that these were available, like I knew, okay, Saturday at 10 a.m. I have to go there to be in line to buy my tickets. And, so that was probably like May or June when I picked up the tickets. And then it was August when I saw the first show. And I was just like immediately floored with this band. The music was different than anything I'd ever heard. I have sort of an eclectic background, in music. My parents were always very into music. My mom's a big Beatles fan. And then later loved Kenny Rogers and Neil Diamond. And my dad, listened to The Doors and sort of some of the rock of the 70s. And so Tommy the Who was played a lot on the record player in my house growing up. And then, kind of found my own, or not my own, but like my friend's music growing up in grade school was sort of everything from 80s hair band metal to the beginnings of, rap with Run DMC and Beastie Boys.
Yes.
And then
what a great time in music.
Great time in music. And then, I was early high school when I kind of got into Nirvana and Pearl Jam, and, Soundgarden a little bit, sort of that darker Seattle grunge.
Yes.
And then, Kurt Cobain, the whole thing happened with Kurt.
Yes.
And that was a bleak time. And then there's this bright, sunshiny music that comes out of the Dave Matthews Band. So it's a big contrast for me as sort of a young high school student to then go from, that darker, maybe a little cloudy, sad Seattle grunge to this, Tripping Billy's guys from Virginia that have a violinist, a saxophonist, and a drummer and a bassist, and this wild guy that wears plaid pants and dances kind of like the guy from the Talking Heads. It's like what it looked like, a little bit like David Byrne. And it was like, what is happening? But everybody got it. Everybody in that audience just grooved and felt something unique, I think. And so that was sort of my big sort of introduction to live music that was what I felt like was like, this is my, the way I think my mom felt like the Beatles was her generation, her band. That was kind of what I think I felt like I was experiencing early on. And so then I'm into, later in high school, senior, Crash Tour comes around. They're at the bigger amphitheater at Star Lake in Pittsburgh. By that time, I had been scouring record stores wherever I could find something, right? So I found my dad grew up in eastern Pennsylvania. We were visiting family, small record store there. I find the EP of Recently and Remember Two Things. So now I've got three discs to kind of rotate through, and I'm listening to that stuff. But then I also would like stumble across the occasional sort of not officially issued CD at a record store that would have like, a photograph of the band and then some live tunes on it. And that kind of got me interested in where these live tunes came from. And I started to learn more about the live recordings and tape trading community, and became very curious about finding different sort of versions of these songs, because it all changed, right? This was a new concept to me that there could be music that's played, you know, and then played totally differently. It's the same song.
Yes.
But they've rearranged it. They've moved it in the set. It's got a different energy. The band is a little bit, you know, more spunky tonight. So it's a little bit more upbeat versus, you know. And so that was just intriguing to me. It was almost like a, I want to collect different versions of these songs and find them. Plus, I didn't fully understand at that time that the band had written so much music but released, you know, only some of it. That first show that I saw, I think Dave, like, within the first couple songs, he played what was ultimately Proudest Monkey, but it was different. And then later in the set, I've gone back and looked at it. What I kind of got crazy about was Two-Step, but this is before Crash is released.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't know what these songs were, and it was not like today where it's like there's a set list right after the show on Instagram.
Right.
There was a
you kind of had to dig for that. And how did you dig for that? Because this was before my, you know, me being in 1995, 1996. I mean, I was 17, but I was just in a different world at that time. So how did one go about finding, like, this song that was on no records and the internet is not available? How did you find it?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Space Between podcast. If you've been listening to this podcast and you just interjected and said, hey, what about this? Or does she know this? I have an opportunity for you. I now have a new Google voicemail that you can call and leave interesting information, fan information about the Dave Matthews Band. So if you have trivia, tips, ticket tips, please call my Google voicemail. It's simply 479-259-1630. I'd love to even have a shout out to your group, to your friends, to other fans of the Dave Matthews Band for a chance to be spotlighted on an upcoming episode of the Space Between podcast. So again, 479-259-1630. And let's go back into this episode. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes, it was friends of friends, networking sort of at its very basic level, meeting people at shows, exchanging phone numbers and email addresses then pretty quickly after that, right? So we were at that point America Online kids, AOL.
Hey,
you know,
you've got mail. And,
right. And friend of a friend at this college knows somebody and they have a tape or they have a tape buddy or whatever. They'll mail you something and you send them something in the mail. I would go to Wawa parking lots and meet people and we'd open up the trunks of our cars and exchange tapes and then meet back like a week later.
That's so good.
And then that kind of advanced to then like sort of message board communities later, right? Like the Ants Marching forums, and then ultimately, you know, Warehouse became a good resource. But by that time, it was a little bit different game. I think Napster was on the scene, and some of the digital format of trading or crowdsourcing music. But I kind of joke, but it's also true. I mean, that sort of mode of I'm a fan of the band. I love this band. I love the music. I love the community. I love interacting with people who love the band. Mm-hmm. And I love collecting the music, you know, trading tapes. That sort of, in a way, led me to my now wife of over 20 years. The first night that her and I met, we sat down, you know, talk to each other. I said hello. She said hello. And within a few moments, you know, we figured out one of us, probably me, said something.
Comes
about,
out really fast. Like, I love the Dave Matthews Band.
You're right. Do you listen to Dave? Do you listen to the Dave Matthews Band at all? And I think it was a very natural question for me at that time because, again, I was interested in meeting people with similar interests, but also my ulterior motive was I'm looking, you know, to trade with people. Like, can you, hey, do you have this version of number 40 in its entirety? Dave played it and we've got a little snippet and we, you know, nobody has it fully. Have you ever heard that? Later, once Napster came out, it was like you could get a lot of that. But back then it was like, oh, my cousin actually goes to this college in Ohio and they know somebody and he's got 40 tapes. So let's check with him. And unbeknownst to me, my wife had some tapes and we started talking about that. And so you have to understand too, sometimes people don't always deliver on what they say they will deliver on, right? It's just human nature. Sure.
Right.
I'll trade with you later.
Yeah.
And so after talking to my wife for maybe a couple minutes, I mean, I already kind of had a crush on her the moment I saw her, but really kind of that sealed the deal talking to her. I was like, yeah, no, I really like this person. But it was, you know, that phase when it's in your own mind, like, I don't know if they like me, like, I like them, but they like me.
Yeah.
And so I went through that a little bit. And then the next time I saw her, I was like, I'm just imagining things. And then she was like, oh, hey, I have that tape that we talked about. I made it for you. And I was like, she totally loves me. She totally loves me. This is going well. And her and I, we were friends first. We both dated other people at that time. We were friends. But we always kind of circled back to each other and kind of bumped into one another by circumstance or happenstance. And that was a common thread between the two of us was the music of the Dave Matthews Band. Enjoying live music generally, being music fans generally, but certainly Dave Matthews Band was a common passion for both of us. And fast forward now, we've been together 25 years. We've been married over 20. We have two kids. We take our kids to shows, which is great.
Yes.
We've been down to see Dave and Tim in Mexico a few times. And Erica and I actually, we have our own little kind of fan podcast that I mentioned to you called Posters in Every Direction, because we're passionate about the music. We're passionate about the fan base, but we're also passionate about the art that, you know, is sort of a part and parcel of going to concerts and like collecting posters. And that really just was something that her and I kind of came up with on a whim, because we're sitting around on a Saturday sipping coffee talking about posters, and we were like, we should record a podcast. Why not? And so
I'm
now
so glad you did.
We host the Posters in Every Direction.
So if someone's listening to this and they're like, okay, well, how do I find your podcast? What are some ways they can find that?
Yeah. So Posters in Every Direction, we have about 37 episodes now. We are on Spotify and Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, and wherever podcasts can be found. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, and Erica kind of manages the socials, but you can message us there. So,
yeah, I think if you found this podcast, you should be able to find his there. So definitely check it out. I've often talked about there are a handful of Dave Matthews Band related podcasts. And so if you're interested in knowing more about those, I will name a few. Of course, we have Posters in Every Direction. There is The Pod That Jane Likes, which I think is such a clever name. They talk.
I love this.
They follow the band as far as we tour and typically talk a lot about whatever's happening currently. So I'm going to guess, you know, Europe is what we're talking about right now. Then we'll fast forward into US tour. But that is fascinating. If you love statistics, they really break down that kind of information. So definitely check out The Pod That Jane Likes. There's also another one that's hosted by two guys called Corner of Gray Street podcast. It's also great. They have a lot of cool guests. Steve Lillywhite has been on the show. So they really have some behind the scene type information, which is really cool. And I think what's interesting about all of the Dave podcasts is we've all found our own little niche, but that's because there's just so much information when it comes to this band. Of course, you've been putting out music for over 30 years. And so each podcast has its own little spin. And I think that that's great that we've all been able to kind of find our little niches within this community. But basically, we're all talking about the same thing. And so I love that. So guys, be sure to check out all these shows.
It's that passion, right, for the band that sort of carries through beyond just kind of turning them on the radio or going to a show.
Oh, yeah.
It's like there's a sort of they're ever present, right, in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, and I think I forgot one more. I don't know if it's up right now. It was up, and I know that they had to take a break, and then they're hoping to get back on. But there is one more called The Number 41 Show. It should be very easy for you guys to remember. And so they have several episodes that are up now. I think they're available everywhere. And then they'll be coming back up. My guess is going to be in May when the U.S. tour starts back up, because we'll just have so much to talk about. I mean, but with this band, I feel like we have loads and loads and loads of information. So, you know, you've said you and your family have got to travel, but I do want to ask one thing about your children. You know, you mentioned that, of course, you guys are now taking them to some shows. What are their thoughts? Are they what you would call fans of the music, or is this something that they do to make mom and dad happy?
Yeah, so my son, I think, had the probably earlier exposure to the band. When he was a little guy, I mean, infant, we had sort of a lullaby CD for him that was the instrumental sort of music of the Dave Matthews Band done in lullaby. And so we used to play that for him as his lullaby music. Then as he grew a little bit, right, he had Under the Table and Dreaming as his CD that was in his CD player in his bedroom that every night before bed he'd listen to Under the Table and Dreaming. Now, fast forward, my son is now almost 16, and he's gotten into his sort of own musical space that's much heavier than where I reside. So he's sort of like a fan of everything from like Slipknot and Korn, and I mean, he likes some
heavy, really
bassy kind of stuff, harder rock and roll, if you will. But still, really, I think he does enjoy Dave's music, particularly Halloween and,
a little
Watchtower. heavier. When he gets amped, that's when I'll see Caden get really excited at a show. My daughter, I think she's a Swiftie. She loves T-Swizzle. I mean, I am too. I love Taylor Swift.
I love Taylor Swift.
How can you not? She's amazing. Mm-hmm. I know this is not the space for that, but
yes, it is, because I'm a big Swiftie and I talk about it almost every show, I think.
Perfect. I didn't want to presume. But, you know, somebody of that talent level, musicianship, and to see what she's gone through on stage with like the pouring down rain and just play through it. I mean, just, I've got nothing but love for Taylor Swift and ultimately like just ultimate respect, because man, does she put on a show, and
she does.
Really seem like to want to connect to her fan base.
She really does. And I, you know, because I have a podcast now, the funny thing is about my podcast is and you can tell me what your life looks like, but I'm honestly, before I started this and before I realized that there were podcasts about the Dave Matthews Band in general, I wasn't a podcast listener. I don't know that I'd ever been really introduced. I knew that I had heard about it, but just again, was not necessarily listening to podcasts. Now that I have one, obviously I know that the podcast world is so broad, and really you can find a podcast about anything that you can think of. And so I try to listen to a lot of different, to get show ideas, just to see what other people are doing, things like that. But Taylor Swift there are several podcasts that are fan-based Taylor Swift podcast, just like this one is about the fans of Taylor Swift. And I've listened to that one several times just because, I think that's such a cool concept. But her fan base is, it's broad, right? There's tiny baby Swifties all the way to, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s. I don't know what, but, you know, everyone loves, a lot of people love what she's doing. And so it's interesting to see what they say about her music. And it's funny because, you know, I often mention on this podcast, music has a special place in so many people's heart. And, you know, with it being an art, it really does have some healing powers. I think whatever music is your music, whether it's Taylor Swift, whether it's Korn, you know, whether it's Slipknot, whether it's the Dave Matthews Band, if that's your music and you identify with that and you find some kind of emotion or feeling with that music, then I think, you know, go for it, listen to it, do it. Music is healing people. Music is a way to save your mind and do so much more. You know, I know before we started recording, you talked about the magic that you and your wife have found within not only the Dave Matthews Band, but within the community around that. And if you're listening to this for the first time and you're like, what are they talking about, a community around a band? Well, we're talking about our fan base. We often call that our community, our family. And so we're talking about the fan base around the Dave Matthews Band. And of course, since they've been out for so long, they've really accumulated such a big fan base. Often you'll hear people say they only have 35,000 fans and that those 35,000 fans travel everywhere to see the band. That's not true. Of course it's not, but it's the running joke behind the Dave Matthews Band. So let's talk a little bit about that magic that people often associate with not only the music, but the fan base around the music.
Yeah. For me, you know, I've had just been so fortunate to have sort of had this band as a part of my life for such a long portion of my life, right? I mean, since I was basically 16 years old.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of, as I've had different walks in life, right? As I went from a young high school person to a college student to a law school student to a young practicing attorney who was married with no kids to now, you know, an older sort of practicing attorney with
don't say older
kids, right?
But yes, we are older than we were.
Right, older than we were. There's always been that constant, right, that this music has been sort of in the background for me. It's been a part of who I am and what I experience, you know, day to day, driving around now, listening to Sirius XM and their own channel, right? Back then,
yes.
plugging tapes, cassette tapes into my, you know, old beat up Nissan that I drove around. but they've always been there, right, in some form or fashion. So that's sort of a sound that I'm familiar with, right, that I, whatever it was, Under the Table or Crash or Later Before These Crowded Streets. So you would think you get bored of something like that. It's always around, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've been to about 57 shows now in total throughout the course of my life, a mix of Dave Matthews Band, Dave and Friends, and now Dave and Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always different. And there's always something new and unique and, huh, didn't see that before. And there's always these moments, right, of like some people I think talk about like a golf shot. I'm not really a golfer, but mm-hmm. like you hit that kind of, you know, that sweet spot, it resonates in you, right?
Yeah.
And like just it hits a chord. And for me, there are those moments at shows, right, that I think back and I can almost still sort of be there. Last summer, we had really good tickets in Wilmington. We got Pitt for night one, and Eric and I had sort of the lineup at that point, and you get the number. We were like number 3 and 4, and so we were right in the door, down front, on the rail, incredible experience. And it's like, what more can we ask for? And, mm-hmm. you know, Dave steps up to the mic late in the set and plays Water Into Wine, which was something throughout the course of my I'd never seen it before because it's so rarely played.
Mm-hmm.
And it just hits you in the face. Like, it's like, what am I experiencing right now? You know, and then this year we were down in Mexico, and I won't forget this. A really good friend of ours, Steph, my wife and her are very good friends, and they bring out the little guitar on
uh-huh,
night three, you know,
uh-huh.
the little red
yeah.
Valletta. And we know that there's only a few songs Dave plays with this. And this is just Dave, you know, not the whole band. And I mean, I will never forget it. Steph turned around and looked at me because we talk about the guitars and stuff. Her
sure.
And she looked at me like it's happening. Like we, you know, it's happening because it's, you know, is it going to be Squirm? Probably not. Idea of You? Yeah, maybe not, you know. Probably going to be Shotgun, but seriously, we're going to see a solo version of Shotgun.
Who would have ever believed that shit? Who would have ever believed that shit?
Just couldn't have scripted that. And I think I don't know. I've never been fortunate enough to actually meet Dave. If I ever had a conversation with him, one of the questions I would ask him would be, what does that feel like in that moment? Like, you know, you're about to throw a sidewinder pitch. Like this is when you sit and you come up with the set list, you know, somewhere in the back of your mind, like, wait till they get a load of this. Right. Like, and what does that feel like when you do that and deliver it and people are just kind of just blown away?
Cause you know, he can see that. I mean, it's such a big reaction from the crowd when those big songs come up like Shotgun or Water Into the Wine or Water Into Wine. So many songs that are just those rare deep cuts, deep tracks, if you will, that don't come up very often. And so there has to be a look on the crowd's face, or even if it's just, you know, 10 people in the front that have just, you know, they're telling everyone around them, you know, like the president just walked into the crowd, you know, like it's so wild. But what a cool feeling for him and the band, of course, when that happens for all of them, to see the crowd respond to that curveball. It's got to be really cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I know we touched on the kiddos music a little bit, but like to see my kids respond in moments is just another one of those examples of what I call magic, you know, at the show. I mean, to mm-hmm. a degree, my daughter, I think, likes the carnival atmosphere of concerts in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's go here and get the cotton candy. Let's get the ice cream.
That's like icing on the cake.
Yeah, it's a fun phase or a facet of attending shows as a parent. But then when you're on the lawn and they play a song, or we took the kids, it was Eric and I's 20th anniversary, and we made a little trip out of it. We took the kids up to Charlottesville on the fall tour this year, and you know, they got to see all of their favorites, because she loves you know, Ants Marching, and you know, my son loves Two Step, and you know, they got to see the ones they love, and it was just, when it comes on, they almost vibrate with excitement.
Oh my God. And it's just, please tell me you have videos of them getting excited at shows.
I wish I did. But you know, we kind of put our phones away when we're
of course, like yes. As soon as I said that, I was like, no, you don't have your phone. Yeah, we're in the moment.
From time to time, I've taken some shots and some videos.
Sure.
But I really, for some reason, you know, this is an interesting thing. I can remember, like, I can sit here with you and almost visualize. It was April of 1998. It was the first show for the Before These Crowded Streets tour. It was at a little crappy high school stadium. I shouldn't say crappy. That's not nice. It was a small you thought it was a football stadium, but it was actually, I think, a high school football stadium called Victory Stadium in Roanoke, Virginia. And Dave Matthews Band played there. We got tickets. It was general admission. We went. We got in at like noon. We stood in the rain. We saw like Bruce Hornsby open up. We saw the band come out around 7 or 8 at night. I don't remember the time. But we had been wet. We had been tired. And then we heard pretty much all of Before These Crowded Streets. We had never heard it before. And I can remember that, right? But if I sit and I video something, like I lose that ability to like imprint, right?
Yeah, it does. It does, because you're distracted in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back then we didn't have, you know, unless you had like a camcorder like this.
Yeah, in 98. I'm trying to remember. Okay, 98, it was a long time ago. Even though when I think like 97, 98, I'm like, oh, that wasn't that long ago. And even like the music, like I listen to the 90s channel often on XM radio. And so, you know, there'll be these songs like whatever. Third Eye Blind was on the other day, and I was like looking at it and it said 1990, whatever. And I was like, what? Like, how has it been that long? Because parts of my, you know, parts of that time seem like not that long ago, but it really was. I guess it really was. It hurts to say that. I don't know why. 1997.
I think you could look at it though, like glass half full, and just say, like, kind of how I think you reached out to me when I put a post up about being in the warehouse for 25 years.
Let's talk about that. Yes.
So, yeah, Warehouse Dave Matthews Band fan club launched in 99. And I think it was like maybe one of the first things I bought on the internet, right? Like, I don't think I was younger, much younger. There wasn't a whole lot of e-commerce that I was participating in back then, but somehow learned about there's this fan club you can become a member. And so I joined as soon as, like, you know, I think it was like January of 99, like right when it went live. And so the years have passed. I've paid my membership every year, and you get the little membership kit, gets you access to ordering tickets and the message boards and all that cool stuff. And a few years ago, I think it was like 20th anniversary, one day I had a knock on the door and there was a poster that got delivered. And I was like, that's really cool, 20-year gift. And this year they had like a little 25-year membership pin. So I was like, man, it's really nice to see the band keep track of this and recognize and say thank you. They don't really have to do that if you think about
it. No, they don't have to.
But I think it shows they're kind of behind the dollars of it, right? Which, sure, there's an economic piece.
It's a business. Yeah. Yep.
Nobody's oblivious to that. But they've always, I think, tried to be very welcoming of the fan base into, you know, the sort of, from the days that they allowed taping of their shows, you know, to let's create a fan club around the band that's going to be fan centric. And what are we going to try to do with that? We could just take people's money, send them a little press kit every year, and that be that.
Yeah.
But they go that extra mile. They try to ensure fans access to tickets. And I know, I follow the socials. People get frustrated. right? Because we all want our tickets. We all believe we're
entitled. It's a lottery system, ultimately.
It is. And that's sort of as fair as you can make it, you know? And it's, frankly, it's something a lot of bands don't do.
Of course.
Plenty of other bands out there where it's just you're vying against Ticketmaster or resellers, and that's kind of it. And that's cool. But this band has, and their management, and they've gone to that next level of saying, let's try to give our fans access and value for their membership. You know, the last 3 years, Erica and I have been able, fortunate enough to go to the Dave and Tim in Mexico. We've procured those tickets through the warehouse. So I've had nothing but really positive experience being a member of the warehouse. And it's one of those things like, I don't let it lapse. Like I don't because
no. And now they've made it easier. Thank God. Because they do the starting, I guess it was maybe 2023.
Yeah.
Because that's a fear of most everyone that is a faithful warehouse member is to remember when that year's up to renew. And so thankfully we don't have to worry about that anymore. And if you're listening to this and you want to know more about the warehouse, of course, the warehouse is the fan club, if you will, of the Dave Matthews Band. So you can go to thedavematthewsband.com or it's davematthewsband.com. And that is a reminder to go pick up my daughter in an hour. I'll take that part out. That was quack, quack.
No, that's funny. That's real life, folks. That's
real life. It, we all have the kids. We all have the things. But, I guess that kind of goes to show, like, the Dave Matthews Band is one of those little nuggets that we have in life outside of all the stuff, kind of like you were saying earlier. We all have our things that we have to do, and that we're thankful to be able to do. We have our busy family lives, and for us, that is a very busy life, and then of course there's work on top of that, and just things, having to get the yard work done and all of the things that life looks like. But then, there are a couple of times throughout the year that we can just put all of that to the side and listen to music and kind of just take our minds off our worries, or even if we don't have any worries, it's good to just kind of be able to go off and take a trip wherever that music takes you, because for me, music has the ability to be like a time machine for me. There are certain songs I can listen to, and of course, even outside of the Dave Matthews Band, where I hear it and it literally transforms my body and my brain into a space and a moment in time where I probably would have never thought about that before, or again. And so, music is such a powerful thing. And I think that's a good segue into listening to what others say this band has done for them. So one of the cool things that we're doing in season 5 is I have a new Google voicemail now. And so I kind of wanted to do a throwback to when we used to call into those radio stations and give a shout out to our friends, our group, or request a song. And so this is my version of that. So you can call this number 479-259-1630. That gives you straight to a voicemail. You don't get me. You just go straight into a voicemail that says The Space Between Podcasts. Call that number and give a shout out to your group. We all have these amazing subgroups when it comes to the Dave Matthews Band. Whether it's People in Every Direction, which is a group on Facebook. We have, of course, just the 2024 tour group. There are multiple ways to get connected with this fan base. And so if you're not connected on social media, that's just another level of fanhood that you can kind of dig deep into and get connected with these people, which we'll talk more about. But you can call this voicemail. If you're watching me on socials, I try to do it daily, but I'll put a question up. So the other day I put a question like, why should Dave Matthews Band be in the Hall of Fame? And so people called in and gave those answers. And so we're gonna listen to a couple of voicemails. I think it's a fun way to give us different talking points. And so let me pull up a couple of these voicemails and we'll listen to... We'll listen to what the people are saying.
Yeah, this is very topical, very current.
Very
Vote
current.
For the Dave Matthews Band and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just wrapped up.
Yeah, yes, it did. And I won't say too much, but I did reach out to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. via email, because I'm just that girl that's like, nah, I'm going straight to the source here. I'm like, I need to know the day that this is going to happen. And of course, that's not a public date yet. So if we're planning a trip to hopefully watch our favorite band get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, who knows if it'll happen? Of course, the Dave Matthews Band has won the fan vote before and did not get into it. Now, does that mean that they are any lesser of a band? Hail no. It's actually kind of a silly joke now that they didn't even get in. And I don't think that the band ultimately cares. Is it a great thing, a beautiful thing? Yes. But hopefully they get in this year. And so if they do, I guess we'll find out when that will be, because they're not telling anyone when that date is yet. So let's listen to a couple of voicemails. Here we go.
And while you do that, I'm going to get a
talk. I just wanted to say that I've met so many amazing people because of the Dave Matthews Band, and I have gone all over the world because of this band. I would have never thought that I would go to Ireland or Hawaii or California, just crazy places, and meet some of the most amazing people. And it brings me so much joy, so much love, and to connect with those people year after year and be able to say they're my friends and think, hey, Dave Matthews is going to be in Texas, and then call up a friend and be like, hey, I'm going to be in Texas. Let's meet up there. It's pretty awesome.
So, you know, yeah, I think that the Dave Matthews Band is allowed us to see so much of the world. You know, obviously you've talked about the fact that you've seen them in different places, and of course in Mexico most recently. And so I often say that the Dave Matthews Band is my travel agent when they come out with their summer tour. That's where I kind of base my vacation schedule around. And so, you know, it's never failed me. Even, you know, who would ever think that you would take a summer vacation to the beautiful state of Indiana? That's not a common thing to vacation in India. I don't know, unless you're a big Colts fan. I don't know. You know, most people are like, let's go to the beach, but it has never failed me. Like, Indiana is one of my most favorite places to see the Dave Matthews Band. And so everywhere they've taken me, from coast to coast, I've only seen them, of course, in the United States and in Mexico. But, you know, we have so many friends that are traveling. They're in Italy today. I mean, they have been such a great travel guide for so many of us fans. So, Shannon, thank you for calling in and leaving that message. So let's listen to one more. This is from Cameron in Colorado.
This is Cameron in Colorado, and what keeps me coming back for more D&D is that amazing energy that D&D puts out. It's the one time of year where I know I can leave the world behind and just have a great time with all my D&D family.
Thank you, Cameron, for leaving that voicemail. I agree. We talked about that just briefly. I think it's healthy to have those moments where we can kind of drop our worries, even if just for a couple of hours, and then pick them back up after. But I think that that's just really important. You know, we try to remember to eat well and exercise and do all of these healthy things for us. But in order to really completely take care of our bodies, we have to take care of our mental health. And sometimes that means that we do need a break from all that life can throw at us. So I think a lot of fans of the band or fans of music in general really find solace in music and being able to kind of drop their worries. So we'll listen to one more, and then we're going to get back into your story a little bit more. So here, this is Breezy and...
Hey, old friend, it's Breezy Dubkowski. So, responding to your request for voicemails about why a song means something, The Space Between, is something that my ex-husband of 18 years, father of my three children, we were married for 15 years, there's always a space between us. We love each other, we co-parent together, and our children are adults, but it's his bipolarism, and it really does remind me of mental health issues. The space between of what's wrong and right, you'll find what hiding, waiting for you is, I'm always going to have it back, regardless of a divorce, regardless of how life has dealt the cards. It's the space between who we are and what we created together, and for me, it's a huge mental health song of where you are, what you're doing, and what you commit to for your life. Regardless of how it turns out, you make certain commitments, especially when you have children together. And regardless if you're together or not, you're always the space between. And I think more people should look at co-parenting that way, and future partners should understand that, that you'll never leave each other's back, especially when you have children. So the Space Between podcast and the Space Between song, huge meaning. Thanks so much for doing what you do. Bye.
Thank you, Breezy, so much. You know, I think that just goes to show that this music is really doing so many different things. And, you know, we all have different things in our lives that we're having to tackle. And for her, you know, having to co-parent is one of those topics it's a hard topic for a lot of people. And how do we do that? Are we prepared to do that? What does that look like? And everybody's life looks very different, but that she's found strength in a song that kind of described what she was going through and what her space between was in her life. So it's just amazing the different songs, how we all maybe interpret them a little bit different. But I think that that's the beautiful thing about art, is it is mostly up for interpretation. And since, you know, there are those videos where Dave and the boys have kind of interpreted those songs for us a little bit, for the most part, their lyrics are so deep and so complex and so like a lot of symbolism almost in the lyrics. And so it can be hard to know exactly what they mean. But that's also a beautiful thing, too, because there are so many different meanings to so many different people. So, Breezy, thank you for sharing that. The Space Between, of course, is obviously one of those songs that spoke to me. I named my podcast after that. And not so much even the song, kind of like what Breezy was saying, but what it reminded me of. For me, it was The Space Between was the space between who I was and who I was going to become, or what I was going to do in my life. And so, you know, I think it's interesting that people have found some strength in that song. It's definitely one of my favorites. Is there any, and I mean, this is a tough, I will never ask the question, or I try to never ask the question, what is your favorite song? Because man, that for me, that's an impossible answer, because it can change from minute to minute, day to day. Is there any songs that for today is standing out for you?
Yeah, so this has been something that I had a lot of like personal like wrestling with for years, because, you know, in the early days, right, I was like really pretty entrenched in the Warehouse and two-step camp. That was sort of my wheel, like those were my favorites. And in 2000 the band did this sort of, you know, a summer tour, was a stadium tour. And they had this sort of thing that they were calling the summer songs, right, or the summer sessions, which later became the Lily White sessions, which got shelved. And we went to the show at Three River Stadium in July in Pittsburgh, and we saw Grey Street. We saw Busted Stuff. We saw Grey Street. I mean, he played, like, so much off that record. But when I saw Grey Street the first time, I mean, you know, again, July of 2000, I'd already been following the band, you know, five or six years, and loved deeply Under the Table and Dreaming and Crash and Before These Crowded Streets. I mean, how can you not love Before These Crowded Streets?
It's exactly,
it's an epic album. But the follow-up to all that for me, right, was supposed to be these summer songs that we saw, that I then bought a bootleg CD in a record store in West Virginia, with a purple picture of Dave on the cover, and I had like really grainy versions of these tunes. Grey Street was something I played nonstop, it hit me from day one, the moment that I heard it, and I was playing that bootleg over and over again. And then later, you know, fast forward however long, and they have the Lily White sessions that dropped on, you know, Napster. I'd moved back in with my parents. I was in grad school. They let me come home and live there. I was, you know, paying tuition myself and things, but they were generous to let me kind of crash and live at their home, which was my childhood home, as a grad student. And I, you know, we had dial up internet. We didn't have fast broadband. And so I can't get these songs at that time. And, I called my wife, who was, you know, down at school still, and still had the high speed internet. I was like, I need you to get these songs for me, please. Like, download. I'm trying. It says like it's going to be 3 days and it's going to be gone by, you know. And so we lived off those Lily White tunes on a CD that I burned and listened to in my car for a while, and then that stuff got shelved, and then Every Day came out where The Space Between was, which is, I think, probably my favorite song off that record. I mean, so I love the name of the podcast. I think you did well. And I understand, as you said in your caller, the way that that song resonates with people, which in and of itself to me is just such a phenomenon, right? To hear people's stories and how these different songs impact them. But for me, it's just when I listen to a song or when I'm there live experiencing it and seeing Dave and the band, you know, and Carter and Stefan and all these, just now Buddy on keys, man, do I love Buddy Stefan on the keyboards. To see these guys and the energy that they bring into these tunes, it's just next level. And Gray Street is one that I know it gets played a lot, and I know there's people out there, but if I really look at it hard and I say, you know, what is really, I mean, for me, my favorite Dave song that of all time, like, it's, you know, it's a really tight race between Gray Street, Warehouse, and Two Step. But these days, I'm probably leaning Gray Street just because that song is just so good.
I know that, of course, you were at the Raleigh show in 2021. And that was the return of course, you know, the third verse after many years of not hearing it. So what was, since that is a song that you connect with, what was your reaction to the beginning of the third verse in Raleigh that year?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And I have to think about that specific moment that show, and you and I talked about it a little bit before we hopped on here. So for those that don't know or follow, the date's super specific. Raleigh, North Carolina, it was July 23rd, I think.
Yeah, 2021.
This is the band's first show back. This is the first live music back for us post, or at least at that point, post COVID-19. It was not what, if we look back now, it's kind of midstream COVID-19. But at that point, it was safe again to be out and in crowds. Like we went through the process to check in with Live Nation, everything. We weren't yet, you know, there wasn't the vaccination thing yet required and thing. It was just safe to go in. It was, we thought, coming to an end. But set all that aside, it was just cool to be back out and in public and have live music again.
Yes.
Right. And there's sort of a larger story here, and I don't want to burn all the time, but for me, you know, COVID was challenging for a lot of reasons, as it was for everybody. But, the Dave Matthews Band Wednesday night drive-in that they put up on YouTube that allowed you to just tune in and see live shows became really a beacon of light. Like, it became something to look forward to every week, that no matter how hard it got, no matter how uncertain, and, you know, I do a lot of advising and counseling of business owners. So I was talking some days 14, 16 hours a day to folks about my business has to be closed, et cetera, what does that mean? If I have to lay people off, what does that, you know, just impactful, challenging questions to answer and guide people through. So it weighed very heavy. And then there's just the human side of it, which is you're a husband, you're a parent, you're a friend, you're a son, you're a brother, and you're talking to people about all that's going on in their life and how they're coping with COVID. So for all of us, and I know, like, Renee, your healthcare field, and, you know, just again, many thanks for all that you and your professionals did in that time, and always and still do, but really challenging time for y'all as well. So there's definitely a heaviness, obviously, to the pandemic. We're on the other side of it. I'm grateful. But in those moments, the drive-in was spectacular for me and for my wife, Erica. We really looked forward to that. We tuned in to then go back. And what had happened to us was we got tickets to the Warehouse for the Pit in Raleigh. That's our home venue, Walnut Creek. And then the world stopped. That was supposed to be for 2020, right? But there was no shows in 2020.
Right.
Because
right.
So the option was you can either keep your tickets or you can get a refund. And I said, well, I'm keeping the tickets. Because here's my theory, is we're all going to get to the other side of this and it's going to be great. Music's going to come back.
Yeah.
Or this is the end of capitalism as we know it. And who's going to need a few hundred bucks from tickets? Like, it's just not, you know, and that's somewhat tongue in cheek. But I'm glad kept those tickets because we had them. We got to go to the pit and see that first show back, and the band opens up. And the most palpable memory I have is they come out and they open with 41.
Yes.
And
oh, I remember the tears. Incredible. I mean, there were just there was so many tears at that show. Beautiful, happy tears, just a lot of tears. And even Dave himself shed a few on stage. Just such an emotional concert.
Yep. And yeah, they played Grace Street. They played the third verse. Incredible. I mean, that set was just ridiculous. Yeah. The poster by James Flaines here in Raleigh is one of our favorites. And I think they had, I think Bradford Marsalis on.
Oh, yes, that's right. He was the guest.
Max.
Yes.
Came out as guest on Lover Lay Down, which is an incredible. He's in, I think he lives around the area here. He's in North Carolina, Raleigh or Durham, but he's here local, I think. And I think it was like the second time we had seen him. He'd been to Walnut Creek before, but that was really special. And just to see, you know, obviously the fans to be relieved and happy and enjoying, but the band, right? And Dave in particular, there was an air of like, just like he just gushed gratitude,
yes.
Right? You could tell like how grateful they were to be back in their craft, doing what they love, sharing their gift with, you know, the community, their fans, the people mm-hmm. who they, I do believe, truly value, right? And mm-hmm. It was one of those moments, like I mentioned earlier, there was just magic. It was magic to that show, magic to that space, yeah. Magic to that set list and the energy and just everything about it. I'll never forget it.
No, I don't think I ever will. And it's a beautiful memory. You know, I wish we had unlimited amount of time to talk because sometimes our stories are so good that I don't ever want to cut you off. But we are going to end this episode. But before we do, first of all, thank you so much for being willing to take some time out of your day to share these amazing memories with our listeners. I know that, you know, it brings a sense of there's a lot of feelings that come up when I hear other people's stories, but if nothing else, it validates the passion that I have for this band and reminds me that I'm not the only one. Not that I ever feel that way, but sometimes, you know, in our day-to-day lives outside of the Dave Matthews Band, you know, I don't live in an area where I know a lot of fans. So it's not something that I can talk about on the regular to just anyone I'm in front of, right? Like no one right. wants to hear it. But in this small space, it's connecting with people that really genuinely do want to hear everything that has happened along the way for you. And of course, you have such an amazing story. You've been a fan of this band for so long, and some really cool things have happened along the way. So thank you for sharing that with everyone. But before I let you go so easily,
absolutely.
We are going to do some Dave Matthews Band trivia. And you know, it's hard for me to decide whether I just want to take it really easy on you or if I just want to lay it on you because you've been a fan for so long.
I'm so nervous. I don't know the depths of the trivia that you have
I know.
In that binder.
I know that's hard because you don't even, you couldn't even study because you don't even know what I, you don't even know what
that's
I have.
That's right. And, I mean, But let's give it a shot. I mean,
let's give
I'm
it a
game.
Shot.
We'll,
hey, you know what? So this is a game for not only you, but of course for the listeners too. So the way we'll do it is I'll read this question twice. I'll give our listeners some time to process the question because a lot of the times we're driving or whatever. And so we're thinking about, oh, I know the answer to this, but it doesn't come so quickly sometimes. And so we'll just give it a little bit of space. But if you know the answer, then just tell us in a few seconds after I read that. Okay.
I'm starting to sweat.
Okay. Now, like I did an episode not too long ago where I had a guest on the show actually do the phone a friend thing. So she was like, I don't know the answer, but can I call a friend? And I was like, well, hell yeah, you can. This is a great addition to the show. So I don't know if you have anyone on speed dial that could help you with these questions, but I'll give you some time to think about that. And if you do,
I might have to run and get my phone over there.
I'm a great talker. You're gonna be cool without phone. Okay, we'll see what happens. Okay, first question.
Right.
What two songs by the Dave Matthews Band have been nominated for a Grammy? Now, keyword being nominated.
One of them is So Much to Say because they won a Grammy for that, I believe.
That is correct. Ding, ding, ding.
And now I'm trying to think of what else they were nominated for.
Oof. I know it's I didn't start easy, did I? Well, think on that. We'll move forward.
I mean, yeah, I got one of them. I feel pretty good there.
I love that. Yeah. You were able to do
crash
it.
Tune.
You were able to do it. Okay.
I would really be guessing, so I'm just going to go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off and guess.
Okay.
And I'm going to guess Don't Drink the Water.
So the second one, and of course this was just a nomination because we know the Grammy went to So Much to Say, but it was actually Gravedigger.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Who knew?
Interesting.
Who knew?
And that's
knew?
Technically off of Dave and Friends, right? That's
yes.
off of Some Devil. So.
Yeah, so technically the Dave. Okay. And, you know, we could talk about Some Devil. I have talked about Some Devil a lot. It is, guys, if you're listening to this and you're not familiar with Some Devil, it's because it's not a Dave Matthews Band CD. It's a Dave Matthews when he went off and did his little solo thing with some friends,
so
which I love the history of that. I loved seeing who he brought in because, of course, that was one of my first questions as well. If he doesn't have Carter, who the hell does he have? And so I really encourage people to do a deep dive into that album. It's one of my favorites. Okay, so let's do song lyrics. So I'm going to give you some song lyrics and then we're going to try to identify what song that comes from. Here we go. I'm going to read this twice for those that are listening at home. I will give you lightning, but I will not relinquish. Oh, you have to tell me what the rest of the lyrics are. So I will give you lightning, but I will not relinquish what? If this helps, this comes from the song Halloween. So we're just going to try to remember back. I will give you lightning, but I will not relinquish what? What is that last word? What will he not relinquish?
Man, I really don't know.
That's okay. That's okay.
I've listened to Halloween so many times, but Dave yells so much.
Yeah, that's one of those songs I can honestly say I probably don't know much of the lyrics to because of the way it is sang. It's in, and I've never really kind of done a deep dive. But so he says in this song, I will give you lightning, but I will not relinquish light. L-I-G-H-T, light, which actually sounds like something that would be said in that song. So that makes sense.
Yeah, it could be. There's a lot of other lyrics that I can think of from that song, but probably not appropriate for some listeners.
Okay, let's see. Do you know which song on Dave's solo album, which of course we said was Some Devil, did Trey Anastasio, a fish, get writing credits for? Do you know what song on that album Trey Anastasio helped write on that album?
I think it's Dodo, isn't it?
It could be that one as well, but the one I have on here is Gray Blue Eyes.
Oh, yeah, it could be Gray Blue Eyes as well. Because Trey's on that. I'm trying to think if he's also on Too High. But he's, yeah, okay. I think
so
he could
be
Gray Blue Eyes or Dodo. I don't know if he has writing credits on Dodo, but I know he wrote a part for Dodo.
Dodo is one of, I love that song. I love that song. And of course, Trey is from the band Fish.
You've got some really tricky trivia here.
Yeah, I mean, years of collection. Let's go in a different direction. I've got so many pages here. Okay, in which song would you find this line? All of the captain's cards are kings.
That's the song that Jane likes.
That is exactly right. Okay, let's go with this one. Song lyrics again. She comes to me. I watch her drink. I watch her comb her hair. It is so hard to say these without singing them.
That's recently.
Yeah. That is exactly right.
I feel like I'm redeeming myself a bit.
Yes, you are. No, man, I started out with some difficult ones, and I apologize.
No, that's
for that.
Fine. I like the challenge.
Okay, let's. This one is honestly one of my favorite ones. I think you're gonna get this one because you have a sense of like time when it comes to the band. But this is a one that I definitely did not get right when I first heard it. What song out of these two songs has been played more live? L-I-V-E. So it's been played more live. Come On, Come On, or Blue Water Baboon Farm. Which one has been played live more?
Wow, that's a really good question. Was it Sean over on the pod that Jen likes? That's the stats guy. This would be
Oh,
right in
yeah.
his wheelhouse.
Well, I invite you to be on the show, Sean, if you're.
Here's why. Let me explain why it's difficult for me. I know Come On, Come On has not been played that much. One of the reasons I know it is because it's one of the very few songs off of the Come Tomorrow album that I've not seen live. I just have missed it, right? But for those listeners who may be like, what is Renee talking about, this baboon song? Blue Water Baboon Farm is one of the band's like super early tunes. I'm talking back in the Tracks days. I'm talking pre Under the Table and Dreaming, pre Remember Two Things. So Blue Water Baboon Farm, while it's been around a long time and was played early, it doesn't get played very much right now, so it's a rarity, right? I'm gonna take a leap and I'm gonna say that Come On, Come On has been played less technically than Blue Water Baboon Farm.
You're correct. And it's just a matter of time, right? Like, that's all it is. Come On, Come On,
right?
Of course, coming out in 2018. Now, these answers I collected probably 2 years ago. So 2 years ago, this was correct. Now, I've noticed, especially in the set list for Europe, which is happening right now, April 2024, boy, they have been playing Come On, Come On a lot recently. So it's back in circulation. And honestly, it's one of those songs that I'm always so happy to see because it is such a beautiful, well-done song, and I love it. But yeah, when this trivia was collected 2 years ago, Blue Water Baboon Farm had been played more than Come On, Come On. And so, you know, that one threw me from the beginning. I was like, wait a second, I've never heard of this. And then you do a deep dive and you find out exactly what you said. Okay, so last trivia question before we end this episode. And guys, thank you so much for listening to this. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Of course, I told Michael earlier, the only way this show continues to be produced is if people come forward to share their journey. Of course, Michael has shared his now. I have shared mine. And so this show is about the fans of the Dave Matthews Band. So if you would like to share your personal journey, and let me just say, you know, oftentimes people hear that and they think, well, I don't have a story. That's not true. Everyone has a story on how they found the band, and not, you don't have to have seen them 20 times, 50 times, 100 times to be a big fan of this band. There's no shape. There's no exact way that a fan looks. And so I say that to encourage you that even if you don't think that you have a great story, you do. It's brought you to where you are now. It's brought you connected to this music. And that is the story. And that's the beautiful part about this show, is everyone's story is very different, but it all brings us to the very same place. And it's a beautiful story. So thank you, Michael, again, for being on the show with me today. Okay. So we're going to go back a little bit. We're going to go back a lot. Okay. So what band was Carter playing in? So this is before the Dave Matthews Band. He played in a band from 1984 to 1990. Do you happen to know the name of the band that he was in?
I do not. I know that Carter was kind of, you know, a local musician around Charlottesville, and Dave had seen him, you know, at Tracks, and he was doing some, you know, different stuff in sort of the jazz space.
Yes.
I don't know the name of the band, though. That is an excellent question.
I think you're going to remember it for always, because it's a secret. And the band's name was Secrets.
Oh, well, there you go.
You'll never forget it now. So, yeah, of course, Carter played in a band for 6 years before the Dave Matthews Band, and it was a band called Secrets. And so, you know, obviously, since that was so long ago, I don't know. That would be an interesting thing to see, is does anyone have early recordings of this band, Secrets, so that we could kind of listen to that to see, did Carter have – I'm sure he did, but did Carter have the same style?
Who else was in Secrets? Like, now I have to know. Now
who
I have to look
was
it
in
up.
It? Yeah,
who
let me
else
know.
Was in Secrets? And where are those guys?
Where are they? Well, yeah, so that gives you homework, which I like to do. I almost don't like to take it easy on people when it comes to trivia, because here's why. If you already know all of the information, then you have no more room for growth when it comes to this band. And that's something, again, I like about this band, is there's just so much information that no one knows everything, right? There's just no way everyone can know everything about what has happened. And then, of course, there's the background of each musician's. And of course, over time, we've had new members introduced. And so there's just a constant rotation of information. And so if you have an interesting trivia question that you would like for us to read on the show, I will do so and also give you a shout out on the show. So you can leave that trivia. You can simply send it to me on any of the socials, or you can call my voicemail, which again is 479-259-1630. So guys, if you're listening to this on a podcast app, just know that you can also watch this on YouTube if you prefer to watch and see the guest. So it's just simply under the Space Between Podcast. On Facebook, we're under a group, which is, again, the Space Between Podcast. On Instagram, it's the Space Between _ POD. And then TikTok, because who doesn't like all of those funny Dave Matthews Band videos that are just so much fun to make on TikTok. It's, again, under the Space Between Podcast. So definitely you can email me on any of those. Let me know, you know, ticket tricks, favorite venues. Why in the hell have you been following a band for over 30 years? It's a beautiful story. So definitely call or message me. Again, Michael, thank you so much. We'll have to, you'll have to talk to your wife. I'd like to hear the opposite story of your life to see what her story was. And then just that flow together. I mean, you know, you each had your own very separate journeys with the band. And of course, then they merged. So it's a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing with everyone.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
All right, guys, until next time, be sure to stay with us on socials. And every week I'll bring to you a different fan of the Dave Matthews Band to share their journey. In the meantime, guys, peace, love, and Dave Matthews Band. We'll see you next week.